south of the border.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, not the version they give you in those glossy travel magazines, or the picture they paint for you in those international traveler websites, where they're only trying to sell you something. What's it really like for expats living in Latin America? Well, if you stick around a while, you'll find out. So, let's get started.
She was a picture in old Spanish lace.
Now, just a little reminder of what I talked about last week. If you remember, I mentioned that I was doing a very special teleconference on the morning of June 2nd, and I purposely set that up on a Saturday morning so most people can work that into their schedule. Both me and my friend Rob Culpepper will be in on that call. And if you remember, he's the guy that's the expat expert on all things European and old world European. And as some of you already know, Robert has some great blogs and information and interviews on the expatwisdom.com website too. So any of you who want to get in on that teleconference call, just go to expatwisdom.com and sign up for my report on those 17 undiscovered Latin American places that are tops on my list. So if you sign up for that report, you'll also get all the information about the teleconference. And remember, there's only so many phone and Skype lines that can be connected at a teleconference, so sign up as soon as you can to make sure you can get in on the call. Enough said about that. Now I want to get into some rather hands-on issues regarding Latin America, because you see, there's some new twists on some old issues that have come up lately, and you really should know about them. For example, it's getting tougher and tougher to spend your dollars down here. I mean, U.S. dollars, U.S. currency. First of all, almost no one, even in the tourist districts like Costa Rica and Panama, will take $100 or $50 bills these days. And they have little signs posted everywhere saying, we only take $20 U.S. bills or less. Of course, if you go to a bank or a currency exchange, they'll take $100 bills and 50s for sure. But they'll have to be in perfect condition. Now, what I'm saying is this. If you have a U.S. currency note, whether it's 100, 50, 10, 20, whatever, and it has the tiniest little tear, or even too many creases across the center, or a pencil mark, or an ink mark, or a little doodle or a scribble on it, and I notice some U.S. currency, even in the States, has an extra little stamp or letter or figurine on it that actually was done at a bank. Some banks in the U.S., when they receive new money from the Fed, put a tiny little stamp of their own on it. Sometimes it's just a letter or a number or a little circle, ABC or whatever. But U.S. notes don't come like that from the Fed. And when there's anything extra added to the note, even the smallest little extra letter or a circle that's been stamped on it, well, they won't take them down here. In fact, a lot of expats I know have a drawer where they keep all that rejected U.S. money. And when the time comes when they have to make a trip back to the States, they take it all back with them. Because the U.S., as everyone knows, will accept any kind of currency, even if it's ripped in half, super glued, or duct taped together. And to tell you the truth, I'd like to get a hold of one of those idiots who takes a felt pen and makes a little doodle on a $20 bill. The guy who was sitting in the toilet with nothing to do, who decided to give Ben Franklin an earring, or give Andy Jackson a black eye. Because you see, expats run into that stuff all the time. And Latin banks are jerks and hypocrites about it too. They think nothing of passing those marked up notes to us when we're not paying attention. Then of course we can't use them down here, but they still try to pawn them off on us. So you have to be really careful at that bank teller's window when you're receiving dollars. And get this, banks load up $20 bills in all their ATM machines here, and that part is good and convenient, because then all over Latin America you can get dollars out of ATM machines with no problem. That way you don't have to stand for a half hour in line in a bank every time you want to get some money. However, when you go to an ATM machine down here and take $200 out of it, let's say, which is the usual daily limit for dollars, generally two or three out of those 10, $20 bills you just got out of that machine, you can't use anywhere. None of the local businesses will take them because they've got a tiny tear or an ink mark or a scribble or a doodle or a heart or a partial grocery list or a telephone number. And guess what? Banks won't even accept them unless they're in perfect condition, yet they'll spew them out in the ATM machines all day long. I mean, when you go to some places, even like a Walmart, and by the way, even if you hate the idea that Walmart's invaded the world, at least they accept dollars down here. And Walmarts that do accept dollars usually give as good or better an exchange rate than banks will give you. And I've noticed that expat gringos like me, who know about exchange rates and American Latin currencies quite well, we know better, so we almost always pay with U.S. dollars when we're at Walmart or Office Depot and some of the other American franchises that accept U.S. dollars because you get a better rate for your dollar than you do for the local currency. Maybe only 1 or 1.5%, but still, it adds up, right? And here's another little monetary expat trick. If you go to Walmart or Office Depot or Sears or Ace Hardware, for example, that take U.S. dollars as well as the local currency, and you know that you get a little bit better rate for your dollar than you would at a bank, let's say you buy something there, and the bill comes to $23. Now, people who live down there are going to pay in the local currency, of course, but we know we can get a little better deal if we pay in dollars, and because we know no store accepts hundreds or fifties, what we'll do is we'll give that cashier two $20 bills and ask for our change in the local currency. And because you get a little bit better rate at that store in dollars, the change you get back, in the local currency, of course, will be at a better rate than you can even get at a bank. Maybe 1 or 2% better, but that adds up. So in this example, gringos often pay a bill like that with U.S. $20 bills because the place accepts dollars. And they pay the rest of the small amount, in this case about $3, in the local currency. Because places that accept dollars will split the bill and take both kinds of money. But you shouldn't necessarily jump at that solution, even though it seems convenient. So what should you do? Pull out two $20 bills, give them 40, and they'll give you all the rest of that change from the $23 purchase in the local currency. And you'll get that change back at a better rate than the bank. Now, recently, I was in a very big department store in Honduras. In fact, it's a nice, upscale clothing store called Carrion, a chain store now that they've got all over Central America. Anyway, they also accept U.S. dollars, but you know what? You have to ask. Because even though big stores and big chain stores will accept dollars, they won't advertise it because they get so few dollars that it's something that almost never comes up, except with the odd tourist or foreign first world business person. Now, what I found with that store was pretty typical of stores that take dollars, yet these stores are off the tourist track, and it doesn't seem reasonable that they actually would. But they do because all the first world chain stores, the franchises, take dollars. So, naturally, they have to be like the first worlders and take dollars. But in this case, they were so unused to taking dollars that when I did pull out my beautiful, pristine $20 bills, they had four different people come over to examine my money and show the cashier how to punch in the right buttons on her cash register so she could make the dollar exchange. And all four of them, including the manager, were as nice as can be and weren't looking at me with any kind of suspicion. It's just that I was kind of disrupting the flow of things because I was paying with dollars. But the really great thing was, the dollar exchange rate was about 6% better than I could even get at the local bank. And believe me, they have the published rates in the big newspapers every day, the dollar rate versus the local currency. And still, that isn't necessarily what the stores will have as their exchange rate. All I can figure is that some of these places get so few dollars that maybe days and days go by before they do any dollar transactions at all. So they pick a rate and keep it for some months until someone decides to revise it again, which in this case was way in my favor. So imagine, since I paid in dollars in that department store, I got an instant 6% discount on everything, as opposed to if I would have paid my bill in the local currency, the lempira. And yes, because I knew they were paying 6% more, I took my change in lempiras instead of dollars. That means I made an instant 6% profit on the change they gave me back, too. Now, you have to remember, you're only going to stumble into little deals like this if you're off the tourist track. On the tourist track, when you pay in dollars, which most tourists like to do, businesses, especially hotels, like to give you a very poor exchange rate when you're paying in dollars. Because they know most people are on vacation, they're tourists, they don't know the ins and outs of switching back and forth in their head between dollars and the local currency. And even tourists who pull out a calculator and bother to make the calculation right in the store or in front of the cashier, they might complain a little bit and say, "God, this is a pretty lousy exchange rate you got here." But they usually pull out the dollars and pay it because, well, they're on vacation. And you know, all of us who've been on that first world treadmill up north, we have two modes of operation. One mode is when we're up there on that treadmill, watching our pennies and paying our bills, trying not to put too much on our credit cards and trying to get everything to balance out at the end of the month. And then there's that other mode, vacation mode, a special mode that most North Americans only go into maybe 1 or 2 weeks a year. So we go on vacation and we're a different person. We're free and easy, we're having fun, we're laughing, we tip a little more, we're a little looser with our money, and we overlook surcharges and extra expenses that we would have raised hell about if we were not in vacation mode and back on that treadmill. Unless, of course, you're a backpacker or a German tourist, and in that case, after you've examined that restaurant bill with a fine-tooth comb like a CPA, and you discover you've been screwed out of 16 cents, well, you'll raise hell about it. And that's why hotels and restaurant owners all over the world don't like backpackers or German tourists. And by the way, French people have a reputation of being cheapskates and very bad tippers too. But luckily, they don't travel much. Not like Germans and backpackers who are everywhere. So who are the worst tipping cheapskates of all? Well, that would be German backpackers, of course. And believe it or not, there's quite a lot of them out there. Especially in Latin America, because they know down here it's quite cheap. And that's usually the main reason they're here. So anyway, tourists carry US dollars and euros with them, right? And they try to change as little as possible into the local currency, which is smart. Because they know at the end of the day, when the trip is over, when they got to go back home, they're going to have to switch the local funny money back into an international currency like dollars or euros. And everybody knows, anytime you switch back and forth, you lose a little bit on the transaction. The bank makes some money. So when you first land in a foreign country, you buy as little of the funny money as you can get away with. And usually you buy it at the airport. And as a rule throughout Latin America, there's a 1 to 3% buy-sell spread rate when you exchange dollars or euros into a local currency at a bank. So if you're going to one particular country, let's say Honduras, for example, if you really want to be smart about converting currency, what you'll do first before you land, you won't look on Google for the Honduran exchange rate, the lempira versus the dollar. That'll just give you the international bank rate, the rate big international banks get when they exchange dollars for lempiras. That's not the rate you're going to get. What you want to do is you want to find out the rate that you're going to get at a local Honduran bank. The rate that you see right in the window or on a board when you get into the bank that says compra-venta. Compra means buy, venta means sell. There's always a 1 or 2 or even 3% spread between the buy and the sell. So when you walk into that bank with dollars and you say, okay, I want $100 worth of lempiras, well, you're going to be buying lempiras with those dollars. And you'll always get a little bit lower rate. So the lower rate is always the compra, the buy rate, and the sell rate is always higher. So when you sell back your lempiras to get dollars, for example, the day before you're going to leave Honduras and go back to Cleveland, you're going to want to sell all your lempiras back to the bank because in Cleveland, you can't use lempiras except maybe to wallpaper your bathroom with. So when you sell your lempiras back to the bank, and by the way, pretty soon you'll be able to use those dollars to wallpaper your bathroom with too. But that's another show. Now, lately, there's been a very small, only about a 1% buy-and-sell spread when you buy lempiras with dollars and vice versa, which is very good for expats and travelers, which means the worst that can happen to you is you're going to lose 1% when you switch back and forth between the two currencies. That's not bad. And I'm talking about when you do it at a bank, of course. Whereas, for example, in Guatemala right now, there's about a 2% spread between the buy and the sell. The compra and the venta, when you buy and sell quetzales, their funny money currency, with dollars. Again, in a bank, of course, which means every time you switch, you're going to lose 2%, which isn't bad, but it does add up. And for example, in Costa Rica, the spread these days is about 1.5% in a bank. So if you're visiting a country in Latin America, or for that matter, any country in the world, you should have a very good idea of the buy-sell rate before you go, so you don't get ripped off right away at the airport or your hotel. And those are two different numbers, very close, within 1% or 2% usually, but they are different. They're not that one number you get when you put in Google the exchange rate, let's say, for the Costa Rican colón or Guatemalan quetzal or Honduran lempira. Like I said before, that's the rate that big international banks get when they're dealing with that currency, and you'll never get that. And here's why knowing that bank buy-sell rate before you even get to your country is so important to you. As soon as you land at the airport, you're going to want to get some of the local funny money, maybe $200 or $300 worth, just because you know. That down here, especially in countries and places off the tourist trail, they just might not take dollars. And then what? What if you have to take a taxi and you only have dollars and they won't take them? So naturally, you want to have some funny money in your pocket. And that's not to say the restaurants and little shops inside the airport won't take dollars. They always do in international airports because obviously people are coming in from all over the world and have only got international currencies when they land, dollars or euros. But within and around the airport, they'll almost always give you a very bad rate for your dollar too. Not just that 1% or 2% spread, the spread that you'll get in one of the banks in that country. Sometimes when you're in and around the airport and you're using dollars, you'll get screwed out of 10 or even 20% versus using the local funny money for whatever purchases you might have made. And hotels around airports and tourist areas are notorious for charging a 5, even 10% spread when you buy and sell. Now, I mentioned in a show quite a while back that I do recommend that when you get to the airport, if you're walking down the airport causeway within the airport and you see a bank, and banks in airports, as you might know, aren't big blown-out deals. They're not giant branches with multiple floors. They're little well-protected kiosks with maybe two or three employees working inside of them. And usually every airport causeway will have two or three branches of the country's biggest banks located there. Right along the strip, where you'll find Hertz and Thrifty Rent-A-Car and all that. So I do recommend when you're in the causeway and you see one of these, you go in and you change $200 or $300 into the local funny money. Because the bank rates there are almost always the same, and they're never jacked up just because they're at the airport. They won't charge you a higher rate for exchanging dollars. Just because you're a captive audience flying in from Cleveland, you don't know any Spanish, and all you've got is dollars. Bottom line, banks at the airport won't take advantage of you. But beware. Lately, something strange has been happening all throughout Latin America in some of the big airports. And the news isn't very good. Lately, because the United States, basically, and First World, have been tightening up on all their security at airports and putting in machines and dogs and cameras and scanners, it turns out that international airports in foreign countries, like in Latin America, are being pressured little by little into remodeling their airports because basically a lot of them were designed 50 or 60 years ago and are pretty chaotic, and most, too, are pretty ragged around the edges. So the FAA and Homeland Security in the United States have been trying little by little to force airports in third world countries especially, to reinforce, modernize, and remodel, put in scanners and all that, just like they do up in the first world. But you know, that takes money, so the United States and other first world countries are giving grants and loans to government authorities in countries like Honduras, Guatemala, Panama and stuff, to do big new airport improvements. And you see the construction going on in a lot of these airports. But don't think that means sooner or later they're going to be doing body scans and pat-downs and they'll be making you take your shoes off and stuff. One thing you got to remember about Latin America, everything they try to do first world is an imperfect copy. I mean, just take a look at the policemen. I'm talking about the guards and the security that you're going to see around a Latin American airport. Typical pot-bellied little guys who don't quite fill out their uniforms. Because somewhere along the line when these guys were being processed and trained, the tailor bumbled a bit on the measurements, you know, and their hats don't quite fit right either. And you never see them run or even walk with a bounce in their step. That'd be just a little too much effort. They're always just standing around, leaning on walls or sitting at tables. They don't seem alert to much of anything. Now, I can't see these guys, whose minimum requirement for the job of being a cop or a guard is advertised in the paper when they recruit these guys as being, minimally, a 7th or is it a 9th grade education. I forget, but you get the picture. I can't see these slouches operating high-tech, multi-million-dollar scanner machines from the States. And the average Latin guy, much less government cops and security guys, don't take care of anything that they're issued. I mean, just take a look at their guns. The handles are all scratched up and dinged, and the barrels are worn and rusty. And their police cruisers, forget it. After a year, there's always a few lights burned out. They've got a few hundred dings and scrapes in the paint job. After a year of use down here, many of these cop cars are on their last legs and on their way to the junkyard. And the seats, the upholstery's always ripped and the stuffing's coming out of them. I just don't get how grown men could destroy something like that so fast. Anyway, what I'm saying is don't expect to get the third degree when you're coming through a Latin American airport, even if the airport looks completely first world on the inside. But speaking of money and money exchange, let me tell you a little story about what's happening down here in Latin America when governments do get the money to remodel these airports. Now, I've noticed just in the past year or so, 6 or 7 big international airports down here have been remodeled, or they're being remodeled right now. And here's what I've found. And pay attention, because not only is this interesting, but it could affect your pocketbook quite a bit. It used to be Latin American airports traditionally were quite chaotic, with stalls of vendors set up everywhere, kiosks every which way, people selling souvenirs and clothes and shoes and Cuban cigars, jewelry and t-shirts and booze, and then there's the duty-free, coffee shops and hot dog stands and bank kiosks, all wedged in with the rent-a-car companies and tourist booths. As soon as you get your luggage and you're on your way out, you're almost always led down a long, long hall where you'd find all that stuff I just mentioned. Then, at the end of that hall, you'd finally get outside where there'd be the shuttle services, the taxis, and the buses and transportation stuff. All that with your typical Latin American disorganization and a kind of low-level chaos that eventually you can actually maneuver through. But, like I said, nowadays, most of these airports, one by one, are being remodeled first world style. And in doing so, what you'll notice in one of these newer airports is that they've shoved all those people selling things, all that chaos and all those kiosks, outside of the airport. So people aren't bothering you much at all, not like the old days. No one's running up to you sticking trinkets and souvenirs in your face or yelling, "Taxi, taxi," while they fight over who gets to take your bags. Sounds good, right? No more organized chaos. Well, it might sound good, but now we've got another problem. All the legitimate businesses like the rent-a-cars and the banks and stuff, they've been shoved out of the main building too. Now you have to go outside and take a walk to get to them. And not that it's dangerous, it's really not. But still, it's much more inconvenient when everything's not right there at your fingertips. And what's worse, what's much worse, is that when you first get off the airplane and you're thinking the first thing you want to do is change some dollars into the local funny money like you should, guess what? While you're still in the airport, what you're going to encounter are these very clean and sharp-looking money-changing offices, which actually look a lot like those little airport bank kiosks that I was talking about before. And I believe they're intended to look like banks to fool you. But these aren't banks. These are straight money changers. And do they rip you off? So whereas in the past, you'd be walking down that corridor, you'd see a little bank or two, change a few hundred bucks at the legitimate bank rate, and there'd be like a 1 or 2% spread, not a problem. Let's say you change $300, so at 2%, you'd lose $6. But now you go to one of these money-changing places because you think they're a bank. They look a lot like a bank. They even have names like banks, but they don't say bank. Their name always has the word cambio in it, which means money-changing. Anyway, you go into one of those places and change your money, they're bound to stick you for 10, even 15%. In fact, recently I ran into a place in Honduras Airport and in the Guatemala Airport that charged exactly 15%. So if you change $300, you're out $45 instead of $6, which is what you would have lost in the exchange at a real bank. Now, $45 might not seem like a lot of money to you, but remember, when you come back through the airport on your way back to Cleveland, you're going to want to change your funny money back into dollars. And if you go to that very same money exchanger place, they're going to charge you 15% for that privilege too. So let's say you have the equivalent of $300 in lempiras when you're going through the Honduran airport. And you change that money back into dollars at the money changing place, and they hit you for another $45. So now on that original $300 you came in with, the money changers have taken 90 of it, or 30% of your money. Whereas if you would have went to a bank, they would have at maximum got 4% of your money as you went in and out of their currency, or only $12 instead of 90. How's that make you feel? Now I ask you, how do you think that happens? How could it be that they used to have all the representative little banks in the airport where you got a real good rate right on the main walkway in the airport building? Well, here's what I found out. When they remodel these airports, the government in charge at the time sells those spaces on that causeway. You know, to restaurants and businesses and stuff, this time in a much more orderly and non-chaotic fashion. And they try to keep out the riffraff, of course. And always, I mean always, some senator or congressman, down here they call diputados, they sell off some of those spaces to their friends and relatives before the general public gets to bid on them. And the most lucrative space of all is the money-changing space. Because, first of all, there's virtually no overhead. Just a person in there changing the money, right? And every single transaction, they make 15% at least. And they don't carry any particular products, and they don't have to buy inventory. The only thing that they have to have on hand is an employee and some money. And who makes a killing off that scheme? Of course, the diputado, which is the senator or congressman, that cut that deal before anyone else got in there. It's a sweetheart deal, and never in their name, of course. Never so you could track it back to them. I mean, what would you do if you got a phone call from a friend of yours who was highly placed in government, and he said, "Look, have I got a deal for you? We'll go 50-50. I've got a space at the airport for you. You've now got exclusive rights to the only money-changing business in our new airport. And of course, you'll have to come around to my house every month and give me my cut. But don't worry, we'll both get rich off of it." And that's exactly what's going on down here at some of the newly remodeled airports these days. So how can you, the tourist or the expat, avoid getting ripped off like that? Well, that's easy. Here's what you do. About a week or so before you go down on that trip, let's say in this case it's Honduras, you Google banks in Honduras, and you'll get a list of maybe 10 or 15 banks. And I guarantee you, you'll even recognize one or two of them, like Citibank and HSBC Bank out of London, one of the world's biggest bank holding companies in the world, and, by the way, is under an international indictment for money laundering. But since when did illegal activities ever put a big bank out of business? Anyway, you hit the link and go to the home page of any one of these banks, and you'll see right on that page the buy and sell rate, the compra-venta of their currency in dollars. And right now, as I look at that Honduran HSBC website, it says the buy rate, the compra rate, is 19.36, and the sell rate is 19.50. So right now the lempira is about 19 to the dollar, just as a rough estimate. And you should jot that down and keep it in your head. And don't worry if you're checking that rate a few weeks before you come down, because the rate doesn't change all that much. It's been about 19 to the dollar for a couple of years now, but that's just an approximate figure, not the actual buy and sell rate. It's like this. If you give them a dollar, you're going to get 19.36 lempiras. If you give them lempiras and buy dollars, you're going to have to pay 19.50 lempiras to get $1. That's a buy and sell spread of a little less than 1%, which is actually really good for tourists and expats like us. Now you jot those two numbers down too, the buy and the sell rate, 19.36 and 19.50. So if you land at that airport and you're walking down the causeway and you see a bank or two with the buy-sell rates posted that are close to that, just march right in and change some dollars into lempiras. You'll be just fine, and you'll pay less than 1% for the privilege. But if you're walking down the halls of the airport and you run to a place that kind of looks like a bank and it says Cambio on it, it might be a bank, but it might not. Just look at their buy and sell rate. In this case, if it's not a bank, just a money-changing place, your buy and sell rates are going to be anywhere from 15 to 30% apart. That's your signal to stay away, because they're supposed to be very close to 19. At a rip-off joint like that, the buy rate will be more like 16 and the sell rate could be around 21. And now you know, since you've written down the real proper bank buy and sell rates, that you should just walk right by. So what do you do then? Well, you go to the information desk at the airport and you say, look, I want to change some money, but I don't want to go to a money exchange. I want to go to a real bank. And the person at the information desk will tell you exactly where the nearest group of banks are. And they'll usually be within walking distance. So the bottom line, don't get ripped off when you get your money changed. Go to a real bank. And I repeat, do bring a little cash down, maybe $500 or $1,000 if you're taking a small trip. But make sure your U.S. dollars are in absolutely perfect condition. And remember, you can only change hundreds and fifties at banks. And if you get U.S. dollars out of the ATM machines, you might not be able to use some of them at all, because they could be marked and torn a little. So if that happens, just bring them back and use them in the States. If you do have to use an ATM, use it to take out a little bit of that country's funny money. And the ATMs will give you the going bank rate on that transaction, which is good. But they'll also charge you generally a $2 fee for the transaction. So if you take out $200 in funny money out of the ATM, that works out to about a 1% transaction fee. And by the way, like I said, I really hate it when people write on U.S. dollars down here because they won't take them. But one day, expat Eddie showed me a $20 bill that made me laugh. Some guy had written on it, taxation with representation sucks even worse.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Once again, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.